Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. This is the last day of our article on Ariel Schenk, table tennis's rising star, so stay tuned. Well, welcome, everyone, to Advanced. We're always glad to know that you're out there listening, waiting for us to discuss today's lesson. Isn't that right, Bill?
It is great to be here, and I learned from this. I know our listeners learned from it, and it's really something that it forces us to also expand our knowledge and vocabulary in a whole different area.
Well, you know, this is the last day of this article about Ariel Schenk, but it's also the last day for someone else.
You know, this is a very, very special day, and hopefully as many listeners as possible are tuning in, and readers are tuning in, because it's kind of a sad day, but also at the same time, I want it to be a celebration.
The last day of what?
Well, this is Naomi's last day with us here.
Oh, Naomi, your last day on the Spans with us?
Doris, I don't know what to do. I'm afraid I might start crying and then I won't be able to teach.
It's a good thing we're not on TV.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but we hate to see Naomi go, but she's going back to Canada. But, you know, I hope she'll come back someday. I think she might, Bill.
Well, she might. We never know what the future might hold. We move away from certain things. There comes a time in life where we just have to move on to the next thing.
What do you say about that, Naomi?
Well, I do believe that God wants me to spend some time with my family, and then we'll see.
You might come back someday.
You never know. I'm definitely open to it. I'm not sure what the future has in store, but I know that this is the right move for now. But it was a hard decision to make because I really love working here on Advanced, and I'm really going to miss not just the fun of teaching with both of you in the studio, but I really love meeting our students and hearing from them, and I will miss that for sure.
Well, you know what, Naomi, even if you don't come back soon, we might have you have a little interview on the radio and send it over to us, and we might put a voice on. What about that? That'd be fun.
I love that. Yeah, we can do that like a remote somehow.
Right. Why not?
Yeah, get her from Canada and just have it on the program.
We want to thank her for not only being on the program, but for being the editor of the Advanced Magazine, and she's done a great job. Let's give Naomi a big round of applause.
It's really, really been a pleasure, and I will miss it a lot.
So now we have to get down to the last day of this article, too. But we're glad you're here to be with us today as we discuss this girl, this table tennis or ping pong rising star. And she's a very interesting young woman.
Yes, she is. I'm glad I could be here for this article, even though it is my last one. I'm glad I made it to this one because she's a very inspiring girl and she's very young. She's only 16. Ariel Schenk is a rising star in the table tennis world.
Right.
And, you know, it's really fascinating learning about how she has to balance things. You know, in America, there are certain sports that young people play in. They get a lot of attention and they get all the press. But Ariel is just kind of a, you know, she's off by herself. She's doing this sport. It's a very individual sport. It's not like basketball or football or soccer. And she is just, she's kind of isolated, but she also, in addition to training, I admire her that she is also so devoted to her academics.
Well, and I also admire her that even though she's living in the United States, her parents are the Chinese descent, and so she's also learned Chinese because she has Chinese coaches, and so she speaks Chinese and English. It's good to be able to speak more than one language.
It is, and that's something I'm sure she practices as well. Pretty amazing yesterday. We talked about the little sidebar that we found on page 43. It turns out that a lot of her classmates had no idea that she was a famous table tennis star because she works so hard at school. They just thought she was a smart girl who had to miss classes sometimes. And so that kind of discipline, her ability to really focus and work hard, I think is admirable. It's something I am impressed by.
Right. So we're going to find out a little bit more about what she has done and what she plans to do. Then we'll have a little short time to review. So let's now open your magazine to page 44 as we continue on finding out more about what she did and her record and how she's coming along. So if you'll read along with us now for this last day, we'll take the very first column.
By 2009, her record included finals appearances at several big junior events. By 2011, facing older players, she had won a Pan American Games bronze and a U.S. Women's Championship. A figure skater or tennis player of similar talent might have attracted lucrative sponsorships. The most a young American table tennis player could hope for was free clothing and equipment. Xing figures he has spent $40,000 a year on coaches and travel. He quit his job at IBM to work from home, making time to ferry his daughter through her busy schedule. Every 3 months, he says, we beg her to stop so we can get back to normal. The family made a deal at the very start. Ariel could pursue table tennis only if she maintained high grades. Education comes first, her father says. If she gets a B, she has to stop playing until she raises it to an A. So far, she has earned those A's.
I wish I could say that I only had A's in school, but when I was in high school, I got a few B's and maybe even a C sometime.
Did yeah, I was you, a Bill? B student.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the most part. I did get A's in math.
I got A's in cooking and sports and band.
Really? I got a C in sports.
But Latin, that was kind of hard, you know. Yeah, it depends on what the subjects are, you know. Well, how was your math?
My math was not great. I was a B or a C student in math. But my Latin, I got an A plus, actually.
Well, that's pretty good for Latin.
That is good, yeah.
But, you know, her folks require her to get good grades, and a lot of people say if you want to be in sports, you have to get good grades. But if she gets a B, she has to stop playing. Well, that's pretty tough.
Well, we mentioned Jeremy Lin the last couple of days, and I believe his mother had the same requirement for him also.
Right?
He could play basketball, but only if he studied and got good grades.
To me, this points to really good parenting, actually, because they're saying, you know, we know you love doing this. We know you really enjoy table tennis. That's great. We want to encourage you and support you wholeheartedly, but that doesn't mean we're just going to hand you everything. You know, we're not just going to give you something for free. You have to work hard.
But Naomi, don't you think they could have said B's, A's and B's?
Well,
come on, get this little B. I mean, everybody can't always get A, you know that. But anyway, they're pretty hard.
You don't want to lower the standard too much, because then there's a tendency, there's a human tendency to slack off or to take it easy and not push as hard.
You're going to be a tough father there, Bill. Okay. But back in the 2009, her record included the finals appearances at several big junior events way back in that time.
Right.
But what happened by 2011?
Well, she was facing older players. And so we learned yesterday how she was traveling the nation and then the world to compete, how she was rising through the ranks, we learned. But in this case, she wasn't just playing other juniors. She was playing against players much older than her.
Yeah, she was at the 2011 Pan American Games, which are Olympic-like competitions. It's North America and South American nations competing. This was in Guadalajara, Mexico in 2011. Every 4 years, the Pan American Games are held. So she's competing at this time, she was 14 years old. She's competing against 20, 25-year-old players, and she got third place. She got a bronze medal.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That was very unusual for that age, wasn't it?
Definitely. And not only that, she also won a U.S. Women's Championship. So she is doing very well in every event.
They didn't really mention whether the grandparents made it to these events or not, but I bet they were all proud of her, though.
Definitely.
Yes. And she also says a figure skater or tennis player of similar talent might have had people want to sponsor them. They say lucrative means give them a lot of money. When something is lucrative, it pays off financially.
Right. Now, individual sports we see here mentioned, figure skaters, maybe Michelle Kwan or Christy Yamaguchi, they got a lot of money, a lot of attention. Tennis players also, they get a lot of money and attention, and they get lucrative sponsorships.
Right. Now, this is another dimension of sports that's very important. Again, we talked earlier about how Ariel has to think about a future beyond the game, and this is why. If you want to stay in sports, you need to have people who are willing to pay for you to do that. It's expensive to train, and a lot of sports do have a lot of sponsorships. You see runners, you know, advertising shoes. You see race car drivers advertising watches, all this kind of thing. But if you're a ping pong player, you probably don't have sponsors.
I do think that she had several people interested in it. I heard that Bill Gates and some of those were interested in her too.
Well, they're just friends. Bill
yeah,
Gates and
but
Warren
you know,
Buffett.
He's got money
they're
too.
Just friends. And I'm sure if she needed really
right.
needed the money, she could probably give him a call.
I think
say, hey,
she, I think he probably helped the father. I don't think so.
But it says in line 20 that usually the most a young American table tennis player could hope for, so the very best that they could get would be free clothing and equipment. And that does go a long way. I mean, a table tennis isn't cheap to buy, of course. But clothing and equipment is not the same as paying for coaches and travel expenses.
No, her father spent about $40,000 just for the coaches that they'd had to come back and forth from China, taking care of them and things like that. And in order to do that, he had to make a sacrifice, didn't he?
Yeah, and that money spent on an annual basis, $40,000. The biggest thing for him is time to support all of this, support her. So he had to quit his job at IBM, and now he works at home. So he's a computer engineer, and he is able to work remotely, and he needs this time to ferry his daughter through her busy schedule.
Which means to other cities sometimes, not just around at home.
Right. If you ferry someone, usually I think of a ferry, the boat that takes cars and people from one side of the water to the other. But in this case, the dad is driving her around and helping her get to the places she needs to be.
Or taking her on the airplane even. If she had to go to these Guadalajara and those places, he went with her. You're not going to send a 14-year-old girl by herself.
Right.
No, and you're talking about not just a day or two, but like the Pan American Games, a week or 2 weeks away from home and other international tournaments.
But he seems to enjoy it. At least I thought so. After all, her parents were the ones who first introduced her to table tennis. However, he says something very interesting here on line 26. He says, every 3 months, we beg her to stop so we can get back to normal.
Right.
I think he's kind of joking here a little bit.
He's really proud of her. I think if she said, I want to stop, Dad, he'd say, oh, don't stop now.
Right.
I don't think they would want him to.
He'd say, are you sure?
What? No.
Yeah, you're already doing so well, you know. But, you know, they kind of joke about it. Well, why don't you stop so Daddy can stay home a while? But I think he probably is very proud of her and happy to go with her, don't you?
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
I'm sure both parents, they're ecstatic about all of this. And, you know, it they get a reward from it.
But they did make a deal with her and the family. They said, what did they say? What's her deal?
Ariel could pursue table tennis only if she maintained high grades. Now, there's two really good verbs in there. If you pursue something, you're kind of chasing after it. You're running after it. And so this is her goal. She's chasing the table tennis trophy. But she needs to maintain her grades, keep them up, help them stay at a high level.
Right. High level, I think B is still high level because, you know, A, B, C, D, failure, I mean B. But she had to get the top grades.
Well, this is actually – it's very demanding that the family would, you know, want her to get A's. And it's admirable because we've talked about other sports and athletes. And again, in America, I've seen star basketball players or football players in high school. A lot of these guys totally skip class. They're getting like – C's and D's. Some of them are even failing classes. And because there's too much emphasis on athletics, the family is wise enough to realize there has got to be another future beyond athletics. That's why the emphasis on the high grades.
Right. So they said education comes first, you know, and if she gets a B, she's got to stop playing until she gets an A. Doesn't have to stop forever, but, you know, you stop playing until you get your A's again. So he's quite demanding.
Yes, and I agree with you, Doris, that this might be a little too demanding. However, I do like the idea of parents setting standards for their kids and saying, you know, if you want to do something that you love, that's great. However, we love you so much that we're not just going to let you run after something that might not have a future.
Maybe her teachers, if she got an A minus, they would give her an A instead of a B. If I were her teacher, I'd say, boy, she can't play anymore, you know.
Yeah.
They might influence her a little bit. Who knows? Because, you know, she's working very hard. She's doing her best. That's the main thing, mm-hmm. is that we do our mm-hmm. best, right? But, you know, everybody has to make sacrifices, don't you think?
Yeah. And, you know, she has made some sacrifices. So, but it's interesting how she sees her role in all of this, as we'll find out in the next reading. Making sacrifices. Ariel does not see anything extraordinary about this balancing act. She describes it in the most practical terms. I can't make a living from table tennis, she says. If I don't go to college, what's my career going to be? But this double life comes at a cost. She has no time to hang out with friends on weekends and concedes, there are a lot of things I've missed out on. After Ariel's last training session ends around 7 p.m., she returns home with no rest in sight. Dinner and studying, she says. If I have a lot to do, I stay up late. Her bedroom is decorated with posters of her icon, Zhang Yining, a table tennis legend. Zhang attended the Beijing Shichahai Sports School, where she could focus mainly on the game. Life is very different for Ariel as she hunkers down to review English composition.
Okay, so when you make a sacrifice, it means you give up something so you can get something else. And I think a lot of young kids in North America are not so familiar with this idea of putting something aside so they can have another thing. But Ariel is a champion at it.
Right. Well, you have to do it a lot of times, make a balancing act. Even in whether you're going to school and you have to earn some of your own money, that's a balancing act too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to figure out I have to spend time on my homework, but I still have to go to school. Some kids have to do that too.
Yeah, we have to learn how to balance things. And, you know, as far as a balancing act, this actually comes maybe from a circus term. I can mm-hmm. picture a guy up on a one wire walking across, and he's trying to balance himself
fall
so he doesn't fall.
Right, right.
So
that's
you have to
right.
be very careful and balance things to be successful in life.
Well, even nowadays, when kids have an awful lot of homework, and they have to balance whether they should get more exercise outside
right.
or balance the time in watching TV or being on the web with going outside and being with friends. So I think all of us are always involved in balancing acts, trying to keep our life so that it's a little bit of everything in it. Don't you think so, Bill?
Well, I think there's a lot of people whose lives are out of balance. You know, particularly the other end of the spectrum is too much work or too much studying. Well, that's great, but what's the point if you're going to be miserable?
But again, I think here Ariel shows that she has a lot of maturity because she doesn't really see anything extraordinary about a balancing act that
right.
she is facing. She says she's just very practical about it. She says, of course, you know, of course this is a challenge, but of course I have to do both. I love table tennis, but I know that my schoolwork is important too.
So she has a very good attitude about this,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, she doesn't really have enough time to hang out with her friends and weekends, but she knows she's missed out on that. However, she has also some things that her friends don't have. She has success.
Well, yes, she does have success. But she, you know, she realizes, though, she's successful at table tennis now, but she's not going to make a living at this in the future. And that's why she says, I have to go to college because that's where my career is leading.
So when she goes home at night after all these extra training sessions, oh, she has to do homework. But I know a lot of Chinese kids do homework, and American kids do too.
Of course. And I think a lot of students, if you're reading this and you're a student, you're probably going, yes, that sounds familiar. You know, you don't always have time to hang out with your friends because you have a lot of other things to do. You get home late, and then there's no chance to rest because you still have more homework to do. This is the life of a student for many
people. A lot of high school students, their parents will say, well, you can go out weekends, but during the week, stay home. I think that's a rule for a lot of families,
yeah.
don't you?
Yeah, and I think that's a good, and another great rule. But for Ariel, she doesn't even have time to hang out with friends on weekends. Mm-hmm. And so that is a big sacrifice. Basically, she's saying, well, I can't really have many friends right now because there's too many other things I want.
Well, she has dinner and studying, and she has to stay up late. But what does she have in her bedroom? What does it look like, Bill?
Well, this is interesting. Her bedroom is decorated with posters of her icon, Zhang Yining, a table tennis legend. And just a little bit about Zhang Yining. Zhang Yining actually won 2 gold medals in 2004 in Athens, singles and doubles, and then also won the individual gold in 2008 along with a team gold medal in Beijing.
Now she calls Zhang Yining her icon. And an icon is a famous person or thing that represents something of importance. In other words, this player represents everything good about table tennis to Ariel. And so she wants to look up to someone and say, yes, I want to be like them.
Right. But remember that Zhang also went to a very special sports school.
Right, and this is what we talked about in day one of how table tennis players in Europe and Asia can attend academies. That's what Zhang Yining was able to do, attend a sports academy, focus mainly on the game, and just refine her skills.
Mm-hmm. But Ariel really doesn't do that. She hunkers down, which means she just puts herself to this. She says, I'm going to settle down, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to review my English composition and my other subjects and not just concentrate on sports. And that makes her for a more well-rounded person. I think that she'll be happy someday that she did do that.
I agree. And I also just want to point out that I think this article is very, very nicely written. It starts out explaining how busy Ariel is. And then at the end here, they're giving us a bit of contrast. They're saying, look, other table tennis players did it very differently. But Ariel is continuing to maintain that balance between her academics and her athletics.
In maintaining the balance, she has been able to be successful in a lot of ways. Bill, did you find out more about any of her successes?
Well, the one thing, we're going to save this for last. We just mentioned briefly on page 43, the London Olympics, that she did represent the United States at the London Olympics. And she had a surprising performance there because she actually, of 128 players, she made it through the first couple of rounds. She made it to round 3, and she lost, narrowly lost, to the eventual gold medal winner, wow, Li Xiaoxia from China, who was like the number one player in the world. And Ariel, you know, she lost 4-2 in a very, very close match. Her performance was outstanding in London.
So this may not be the last we hear of her. If you are a fan of Ariel Xing after reading this article, I would highly recommend that you follow her online, look up some more information about her, and look for her next competitions and see how she does.
I'm sure we'll see her name in the news more. She'll be in the public.
Well, look for her in 2016 in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. That's the next Summer Olympics. Maybe there, win gold.
And I think we'll hear a little more about her now in today's feature.
Welcome to another edition of Advanced Sports Today. I'm your host, Rocky Rhodes, and today we're talking table tennis and one of America's best players, Ariel Xing. In the studio is Martina Steflana, the coach of Ariel Xing. Welcome, Martina.
My pleasure to be here, Rocky. I'm sorry that Ariel couldn't join us, but she needed to hunker down on her studies today.
You were an icon on the European table tennis circuit for many years, Martina. How does Ariel compare to some of the players you competed with?
She ranks up there with some of the best players in the world. Ariel really understands the nuances of the game and is able to adjust instantly. That's remarkable for someone so young.
How did you come to be Ariel's coach?
I was attending the Pan American Games in 2011. When she caught my eye, I couldn't believe that she was only 14 years old at that time. I spoke with her parents about coaching her.
What areas of her game does she need to improve upon to reach the top of the table tennis world?
Her mechanics and style are very solid. I'd say right now that all she needs to work on is the mental aspect, such as cutting down on unforced errors.
Any predictions for the future of this budding star?
I'm going to be a bit brash here and predict that she'll win a gold medal in the Olympics someday. Maybe 2016 in Rio de Janeiro.
Okay, we'll look for Ariel Singh in 2016. Martina Steflana, thanks for joining us here on Advanced Sports Today.
My pleasure, Rocky.
Okay, I think this is a great article as far as how Ariel Singh has been able to balance athletics and academics. And again, I have to emphasize the importance of what she says about her career in the future because, yes, a lot of people are really great athletes, but in table tennis, many other sports, figure skating, other things, their career is over by age 25, maybe 30. And so you have to think about the rest of your life after that. So make sure that you can keep things in a healthy balance.
Definitely. And that's one of the vocabulary terms that we covered today was the idea of a balancing act. And so, friends, you need to think about your own balancing act. How are you keeping everything balanced properly and in a healthy way? You know, overall, throughout this article, what really caught my attention was Ariel's attitude, because it seems to me that she's very optimistic. She's quite humble, too, for someone who's so successful. And so that really catches people's eye.
That's true. Yeah. And we know that wherever Naomi goes, she's going to catch people's eyes. Because she's very tall, actually,
that's
for
true.
One thing. But isn't that true, yeah. Naomi? But that she's going to be taking a ship across the ocean from Tokyo back to Vancouver.
Yeah.
That'll be a pretty interesting, exciting trip. You might have to write an article on that. Who knows?
I would love to do that.
And we'll be hearing more from you, even though you'll be leaving us here at a Studio Classroom. You'll still be a Studio Classroom friend for life.
I hope so.
I want to mention one thing before we sign off, and I know Naomi's going to say something, Doris, is that I've enjoyed working with her for nearly 8 years. She's a consummate professional, and she's always done everything she can to maintain the highest levels of quality here for Advanced.
Thank you for all the time you spent with all of us and the students, and everyone loves you. Hate to see you go, but we wish you the success in the future, whatever you do.
Thank you, and I really hope that all of you have wonderful success too, friends. As you're listening, I've always been very encouraged by you. When I meet you outside of the studio and you use English with me, I'm always so impressed and encouraged, but I just want to keep encouraging you. Of course, work hard just like Ariel Singh does, but you also have to have patience with yourself. If you can't get it perfect the first time, don't worry. Don't be too hard on yourself. Just keep trying and you'll get there. And thank you so much for being such wonderful students and friends to us and to me, and I'll miss you a lot. Stay in touch.
So we'll say goodbye for our July lessons and goodbye to Naomi for now, but we'll see all of you when we come back to class next time. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, friends.